Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
That's right. The Drive is live on a Reaction Monday. Byron, a.k.a. Bryce Young, is in the building. Big win last night for you, Bryce, against the Packers on the road, man. Y'all back at it, baby. 5-4. Hell of a performance.
Are the Carolina Panthers 5-4?
5-4, man. A road win. Yesterday was such a weird day.
Carolina's 5-4.
5-4. Road win at the Packers. But no, Byron's in the building doing his thing. Pete Mill is out. He's probably really struggling from that game yesterday as well. Maybe he needs a day. Maybe he'll be in a better spirit tomorrow.
Oh, his Aggies are running the show. He's on campus. He's on campus. Oh, he ain't even thinking about Texas.
He's all right. You think he's all
right? He ain't worried about C.J. Stroud, that concussion. He ain't worried about that loss. He ain't worried about whether Davis Mills going to play. He ain't worried about no D'Amico Ryan's presser. Hell, he's at Northgate right now, pregame. Ain't no doubt.
Enjoyed itself. All right, that's Clint Sterner. You hear him right there. A lot to get to today. Remember, we are out early because it is the coaches' show with D'Amico Ryans. You'll hear from him at 5 o'clock, so stay tuned for that. A lot to get to as well. 3 o'clock, we will hear from you. Byron will open up those phone lines, and we will hear your thoughts from this game as we do each and every Monday. Remember, Clint and Byron, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, there's a lot of places that we can start and go here, Clint, but I want to start here in, I think, an obvious place. All right. Did this game in 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this. Did this game just really come down to the real significant injuries that the Texans took in game, losing C.J. Stroud, losing Titus Howard, obviously their quarterback and most important player on the team, and then their best offensive lineman against a team that the defensive line was their biggest strength? Do you think it really came down to that? Are you convinced the Texans win that game, that they lost 18-15 at the buzzer? Are you convinced they win this if C.J. and Titus Howard are out there?
No.
You're not?
No, not at all. Now, I would have liked to have seen the game unfold with our top guys out there and see if we could make plays at least. At the very least, with the guys that got reps all week long, it would have been very, very nice. Yeah, would we have had a better chance? Of course,
A better chance. But you're not completely convinced.
No, look, I mean, I said this last night, Ron. I mean, when Davis Mills comes in the game, the ceiling obviously comes down a little bit, but the floor stays the same. We've seen this offense with C.J. Stroud calling the shots be absolutely awful. We've seen them be. Adjusted and kept from the end zone and forced to kick field goals. We've seen that offense This offense has been one of the worst offenses in football all year long, with or without C.J. Stroud. So, did I would have liked to our chances? Hell yeah! But I can't sit here and say this one right here is on Davis Mills. This one right here is on an injury. No,
you don't think it would? Your thoughts is that game would have probably turned out very similar.
I don't know. There's nothing. I mean, if we're honestly looking at what we've done, when you look at the games that the Texans have lost, we have scored, Ron, we have scored four touchdowns in those games. Because it's been one score games or blowouts, right?
He left at 3-0, and obviously the next play was a punt when he left, and then they put up 12 more points with Davis Mills as a quarterback. So, they have struggled in these losses, Clint, as you said, to get
four touchdowns. Will Anderson has one of them. Nico Collins hit a little double move against
Jacksonville.
There's just it's not like we can point back to, again, versus good football teams in tight ball games. It's not like we can point back to, boy, we have just scored a ton. One of those touchdowns, like I said, Will Anderson scored one. One of them was against Tampa, and Nick Chubb ran it in. And a lot of people believe that they let Nick Chubb do that. They gave it to him on purpose. And so, look, I mean, this is not – it's not like we line up and we all of a sudden feel like this football team is one that, with CJ in the game, is going to score touchdowns.
I believe Mills had no offense at all. CJ did something more than Davis did. I mean, I guess, like I said, I mean, they scored 12 points while Davis was in the game. I do think, Clint, he converts some of those. When I say some of those third downs, I don't even know if they get to third down. I do think he's able to do all the consecutive 3 and outs or 4 and outs. I think they maybe sustained drives a little bit more, but to your point, man, hell, they got down the 1-yard line with him and they couldn't get in. They have struggled all year at times to score touchdowns. But I would say the biggest difference is with him and Titus, I think they sustain some of those drives where maybe they still punt, Clint, but maybe they punt, you know, after a 6-play drive as opposed to a 3-play drive.
Well, for me, the reason I would say it is, like, I don't think they're sustaining drive against this defense. I think they had a good coming out drive, but I don't think they're sustaining anything. In fact, I cringe when I hear D'Amico Ryans talk about, well, we just can't sustain a drive. When you go against one of the best defenses in the league, if you're banking on sustaining drives for 4 quarters, yes, it's going to get beat. That's just not going to happen against this level of defense. But I will say this. I think there's two plays that were left on the field by Davis Mills that I think turn out differently. Obviously, the bootleg, the throwback to Nico Collins where it's severely underthrown. Nico plays defense and keeps it from being an interception. I think C.J. Stroud might complete that one. Damn sure gives us a chance. And then the Christian Kirk throw over the middle that Davis Mills missed. That could have potentially been a touchdown. And so, yeah, I think when I look at the C.J. Stroud injury, I go, I don't know if they would have sustained drives. I don't know if they would have scored a touchdown. I do feel like they would have made one big play to swing field position or swing the score significantly, which would have changed the game.
All right, Clint, even from that, from the C.J. situation, as we react here on a Reaction Friday, Reaction Monday, 713-572-4610, jump in with us YouTube and Twitch. What for you was maybe the biggest takeaway following the game? After everything, you did the post-game show, you watched the game, we heard from D'Amico, we heard from Davis Mills, we heard from everything. What was the biggest takeaway you have coming out of this game?
Well, I said this a couple of weeks ago, I just don't think D'Amico Ryans knows his team. I don't think D'Amico Ryans has a good feel for offensive football. I don't think he knows who his team is. I think he's overly committed to the defensive way of approaching things, of being more physical and swarming to the ball and trying harder and, you know, all this kind of jive. And offensively, that's not who you are. So I think big picture, I just don't think D'Amico knows his team. And when I say he doesn't know his team, I don't think he knows his offense. And you got a first-year play caller that clearly is a guy that's going to let everybody have input, a guy that's not going to do it his way. It's kind of this collective thing. When I look at some of the decisions that are made once again with this team, I don't know what D'Amico is seeing. We talked about the Seattle game when it became very apparent that you were not going to displace, you know, the opponent at the line of scrimmage in the run game. You weren't going to move. You weren't going to road grade people and move the line of scrimmage. It became very obvious. You just kept on third and one and third and goal and fourth and one and fourth and goal. You just kept on forcing the issue. Well, you did it again. You did it again last night or yesterday. You know, you get down there and the thought that you can line up in heavy personnel, three tight ends, two backs, and run the football between the tackles is laughable at this point. And I'm not saying you shouldn't run the football or try to run the football. I'm saying that lining up in heavy personnel with this offensive line that is not movers of men, and be honest with you, it's unfair to expect them to the way you put it together, to line up in that personnel time and time again and go downhill with Nick Chubb, same personnel, downhill with a fullback dive, quarterback sneak down there. I don't know. Like, you've got to be an absolute monster up front to just line up and say, man, we're going to let everybody in the world know, man, we're finna come at y'all. We're going to run it right down here. We're going to fullback dive this thing. We're going to fullback this thing. We're coming right at you. And you've got plenty of evidence that you're just not that guy. So it starts there for me, Ron, of just – because I do think that's D'Amico. That's Nick Cayley's not lining up going, boy, we're just going to try to win man versus man.
Yeah, they never changed off of it. They were down there two times. There was but to give a little bit more credence to what you're talking about, here is D'Amico actually today, Clint. He spoke to the media today, and he talked about the goal line situation. And I think everything you're saying, I think he really kind of proves that with what his comments were talking about the goal line yesterday.
Yeah, it's a lot of right what ifs, right? We throw the ball on the goal line. We don't get in. Hey, you guys should run the ball more. We run the ball. We don't get in. Hey, you should throw. So there's always a wish I would have, what I would have done different, look back at it, do it different. Look, I approach the game from a physical mindset of, hey, if you're on the 1 yard line and we got to knock somebody back to get in the end zone, that's how I approach it. Like, and that's how I always approach it. And then when we do get in the end zone on the fourth down, we got a false start. So it's like we got in the end zone. CJ got in, but that's points are taken off the board because we have a false start. We're not locked in on the snap. So it's just so many things there that goes in. Yeah, there's a physical mindset. That's what this game is built on. You have to have that mindset, and you should want to be in those situations where, hey, we got to knock somebody off the ball to go get 1 yard. If you don't have that mindset, then yeah, you're probably not going to get in.
I mean, and Clint, basically what you're saying is, at what point is he going to start to act to act and do things with this team in which he shows, all right, this is not what I want us to be, but this is who we are, right? And everything he said sounds like this is what he wants and hopes for his team to be. But at some point, you got to take a look at it and say, this ain't our team. Hey, I give Nick Cayley credit. Whoever called the little in-motion shovel pitch pass to Nico Collins, yeah. Now it resulted in a hold. But at least it was something that was different where they were like, all right, man, we want to just try to get Nico the ball and his shoulders getting forward. But, I mean, your team's just not this physical. We saw it against Seattle. We saw it against multiple teams all season where they've been stopped at the goal line, and this is just not who their team is, despite what he wants them to be.
Yeah, look, I don't to be clear, I don't have a problem with you wanting to be a physical team and wanting to move men, and I don't have a problem with you running the ball four times down there. I got a problem with how you do it, and I mean it just the thought that Woody Marks, your best playmaker, never touches the football. The thought that you stayed in a heavy personnel with Blake Fisher as one of your tight ends is I mean, you're taking the approach of telling everybody, we're going to walk in there and we're going to bully you. We're going to tell everybody we're going to do it, and we're going to be good enough to do it. You are not that team. You're just not that caliber football team. So I don't have a problem with we want to be physical. I approach the game from a physical perspective. That's fine. But boy, you are just, I mean, you are beating your head against the wall if you're D'Amico Ryans and we're eight games in and you're still lining up in heavy personnel, like to an extreme. Not, I mean, you have to have it in your package, in your offense. I get that. But you don't stray one time just for the sake of lightening up the pocket. Lighten up the box. Lighten up the box a little bit. Move your receivers and your tight ends out. Make somebody cover them. Get some bodies away from the line of scrimmage. Give the ball to Woody Marks, who can make somebody miss in the backfield instead of blindly running downhill or the fullback closing his eyes and running into the back of the offensive line. So I like it.
Like the quarterback sneak with Davis Mills from the two?
Yeah, where you didn't move anybody. Like Davis looked like a little kid trying to peek over a fence. I mean, he was trying to look like he couldn't even decide. There wasn't even enough room for him to jump if he wanted to. That's my problem is not the want to run it or the want to be physical. My problem is like I don't feel like you know who you are. Like you're not a good enough football team to line up against good defensive lines, not to mention Seattle and Denver were great defensive lines, and say my guys are better than yours. I'm going to move you. You're just not good enough, and so I just wonder. I don't wonder. It doesn't seem like D'Amico Ryans knows his team.
I'm going to guess you didn't love the end of the fourth quarter either.
Well, that's another one. I mean, that's just football. I mean, you look at offensive football. I mean, there was every sign under the sun from an offensive perspective. If you really look at it and go, we haven't had a first down. We haven't converted a third down in the second half. We've got 77 total yards, I think, since CJ went out. We are backed up in our own territory.
First down, first and 10 from your own 13.
Yeah.
14 left.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like at that point to go, yeah, I'm just going to get a couple of quick completions and get this thing moving, you know, get a first down and go down. Like, it doesn't seem like that is a calculated decision. It seems like that's a little knee jerk of like, hell with it, boys, let's go. And again, like you just don't know who you are. Like, even in the moment with your backup quarterback in there, it doesn't seem like you know who you are. And I go back to a couple of things that we've beaten like a dead horse, the running back rotation. Like, I looked to Ron, I looked to you in that fourth quarter, and I said, I can't think of one reason offensively why any running back not named Woody Marks should touch the football, whether you hand it to him or you throw it to him, shouldn't touch the football again. You're in a situation in this ball game where you need one play to break. You need him to be able to bounce that thing outside like he did once and go 40, catch a check down and go 50 like he did last week, and the game is over. Like, it's over. It is a huge play anytime, but in a game like yesterday, it's a monster play. But instead, you're turning around and handing it to Nick Chubb again. You're throwing the damn thing to 33, Dari Agumbawale again. Like, you just
well, – yeah, he did get him a touch, didn't he?
You're not that good. That's piss-poor football. And I believe it's coming from the head coach. I believe the head coach is – allowing it. If he wasn't allowing it, he should have told him a month ago, hey man, Dari Agumbawale ain't the guy. Get the damn ball to 27. When the game's on the line in the fourth quarter, 27's in the ball game. We got to have a guy that can make a play. Put him in the ball game. Let's go. He clearly can do it all. Let's go. Like those kind of things of thinking you're the smartest guy in the room or overthinking situations or like it just doesn't seem like D'Amico Ryans knows his offensive football team and has the ability to adjust, whether it's week to week or in the moment in a game time situation.
Yeah. All right, as we continue on this Reaction Monday, usually at this point we do a grade on CJ, and obviously I don't think it's fair to grade CJ with his injury early in the second quarter. But the person that was probably most affected by the injury was his offensive coordinator, Nick Caley, and he is also a big talking point on this season. How would you grade, with everything that he had to deal with, how would you grade the performance of the offensive coordinator, Nick Caley?
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. We'll do that coming up next. All right, welcome back in to The Drive as we continue to roll through on a Reaction Monday. Remember, we are out early at 5. D'Amico Ryans, the coach's show, jumps on after we get done, so you may want to stay tuned to hear from that. Normally, Clint, after games, we do the grade for C.J. Stroud, but he was knocked out of this game with a concussion. By the way, we'll give an update coming up here a little bit from D'Amico, the latest on his injury coming up here in just a bit. But let's do it with Nick Cayley, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. I see some of you jumping on here. What's your grade for Nick Cayley? And they scored 15 points in this game. Zero touchdowns, but they were in the red zone enough. 4 for 18 on third and fourth downs combined. 77 yards rushing, 191 passing, 268 total, 4 sacks, 8 punts, 2 failed possessions from the 1 yard line. But they did win the time of possession battle with 34 minutes. Again, no turnovers in this game. And obviously, there was a huge effect of them losing C.J. Stroud and Titus Howard in the second quarter. With everything combined there, how would you assess what Nick Cayley did yesterday?
I'd probably go with a C.
I'm in that range too. I see a lot of people texting in with Fs and Ds.
Yeah,
and
no, look, I mean, sacks didn't become a problem against a team that had the most in the league, I believe. Is that right or no?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. By far.
You know, sacks didn't become a major problem. You know, I thought the things that held him back were obviously the goal line stuff, which, again, I'm on record. Make of it what you will. I think D'Amico has a heavy hand in that. So I don't necessarily, you know, hit him as hard as a lot of people would in that situation. You know, and like I said, this was a game, man, where one or two plays and it's totally different. And if you just look at the scheme up of Christian Kirk over the middle – that Davis Mills misses, man. I mean, that is a monster play in this game that swings it drastically. You know, getting you know, Davis Mills in the game and getting him comfortable. I think the go route to Nico early was a plus. So it wasn't a good game by any stretch of the imagination. But I'll go with a C for two reasons. One, you had your backup quarterback, and two, I think D'Amico Ryans has got a lot to do with what they're doing offensively.
Yeah, I'm going to go C minus. I'm with you. Dude, at what point, right, Ed Oliver went out for a second and Titus went out obviously for the game. So those, like, that was their biggest strength, and you're having trouble against what they call baby J.J. Watt over there, Zach Allen. You were having problems with him to begin with, and then having to deal with those guys and the rest of the crew. So I give him a C minus. Someone said a Z. I wouldn't say that. I tell you, things that I was very, very disappointed in, obviously the one, the goal to go 1 yard line inside the three, inside or whatever. You got to hit one of them. Hell, I mean, one of them. You got to figure out something. The other part, man, like, we came into this. How Jalen Noel only get 11 snaps in the game, man? How does that happen? How did he only get 11? And I said it to you last week. I was like, have we reached a point where we think he should go past Christian Kirk? As I just said, nothing about what he has done says to me, yeah, man, he needs to see less time. And then, I mean, 11 snaps. I mean, his involvement in that game was really only going to be on the return game, and he returned one to the 50 to give them good field position. So that part bothered me and annoyed me. And again, like you said, some of the small stuff of the Dory in the game late and what they were doing things. But, yeah, I can't. I mean, that completely shifts your whole game plan when you're facing an elite defense and you have the drop-off with the quarterback and your best offense lineman out at the same time. So I'll go C minus, but I don't like the Jalen Noel situation.
I don't like any of it. I mean, Christian Kirk had a nice little presence there in the first half, and clearly it didn't work out for four quarters and didn't help us win a game to really any degree. But the first couple of drives, I think he was instrumental in. But I don't know that would have changed the game. Right, but to your overall point, I think is just again overthinking these things.
But clearly, they came into the week with the game plan of like he's just not going to be
on the
back
burner. He was going to be returning on the back burner, no question.
That was rough. Text line coming in. I give Kaylee a C. Davis Mills and the run blocking were the biggest issues I saw. Play calling wasn't the issue. Oh, I don't know about it. I think it all was. If not an F, then a low D. The lack of efficiency in the red zone to me makes a lot of that. Yeah, I mean it was rough. I mean it was absolutely. I mean you look at that. I mean 3 for 17 on third down, can't get the ball in from the one, no matter what you do. Yeah, it was rough.
Just to put it nicely.
to put it mildly. But like this would be an F-tastic. Hey, we got to go and change coaches and change play callers if, you know, CJ and Titus didn't get injured, if that's what it looked like last night. But I think that plays a major, major part in it, obviously.
Yeah, I'd love to lean into the injuries. I would love to lean into Nick Kaylee, but the reality of it is it's more of the same, guys. It's more of the same.
Just a little worse looking because of the talent drop.
You're right, yep.
Yeah, a little bit worse. All right, coming up, we'll let you hear the latest on C.J. Stroud and where he is concussion-wise, and we'll hear D'Amico's comments on that hit and the comparison that many people are making. We'll discuss that coming up.
And CJ's in the concussion protocol. Spoke to him last night. He's feeling a little bit better. We'll see how the week goes and how he has progresses throughout the week. And Davis has to step in and play. We just expect him to go out and do his best. All right, just play the offense the proper way. Make great decisions with the football.
All right, that was D'Amico Ryans earlier today giving the latest update there on CJ Stroud. He also said the same thing about Titus Howard. Titus Howard is also in the concussion protocol, and they'll have to see how he progresses throughout the week. Last time, Clint, against the Jets in his rookie year, he suffered a concussion, had to leave a game. He had to miss, two games? I believe he missed two games. They beat the Titans and then got took a blowout loss with the Browns. And then he returned and was able to win enough for them to get in the playoffs. So we'll see what happens this time, Clinton. The way he spoke there, I don't think it would be a surprise at all if he is not declared himself out of the or not himself, but he's not declared to be out of the concussion protocol. We saw it last week. Nico Collins had to miss one game, and it wouldn't be a surprise if CJ had to miss this one, Clint. And based off what we saw yesterday, they might have to run a game and go with Davis Mills and not CJ, and it could be Titus for that matter too if they're in the same boat.
Yeah, I did not see Titus's, but the CJ one's interesting to me. There was no fencing, there was no arms going stiff, there was no grabbing the head like we saw with Nico, and he walking off the field, everybody saw, gives his thumbs up, to believe, probably to his mom or his family up in a suite somewhere. That's interesting to me. I know the protocol makes it difficult to get back to where you can actually prepare like you're going to start. And so I don't know what that looks like, how quickly he can be back and how involved he can be, even if he is going through the different, you know, trying to check the different boxes in protocol. And then you look up and you go, how much is it actually more beneficial to go with a guy that's getting reps all week long because the game plan changes every week? Is it better to go with a guy that is getting, you know, the reps all week long versus, you know, having a guy play that is suspect concussion-wise as well as not getting any reps? So a lot plays into it. But it wouldn't shock me if I saw him play. It wouldn't shock me if he sat a week.
Yeah, we'll see.
Now, it would shock me if this is a longer-term deal where he can't seem to get his way out of concussion protocol. Didn't seem like it's bad enough to last, to linger for an extended period of time.
Yeah, you never know with these things. He took a hard hit off the turf and was down for a bit, did get off and walk off, and like you said, communicated in the stands, which is a big thing. But just judged off what we're seeing, it's at best, I would say, 50-50 with his situation. But we'll see what they have to do moving forward, and we'll talk more through that as the week progresses, if Davis Mills is the guy. A little bit later on, I do want to hear your thoughts on Davis Mills' performance. I want to hear it pre-tape drop Tuesday, and then I want to see what it's like once you watch the film. We'll do that a little bit later on in the 3 o'clock hour. But D'Amico had a couple of comments about the hit yesterday in the postgame and today when he met with the media. Here was his thoughts and his opinion on the hit, not really watching the film as much, but just after the game yesterday.
CJ scrambled. Of course, he tried to – he slid, and the guy, you know, came up and hit him. As I see, it's unnecessary roughness. He hit the quarterback when he's sliding and giving himself up. If I'm incorrect on the rule, I've seen that happen multiple times, you know, with our guys, and we get the penalty, but for some reason, it just didn't happen there. So we'll look at the film and see, you know, what – actually happened there. At the end of the day, we lost our starting quarterback, all right, because of the play. And, you know, anytime you lose your starting quarterback, it's always tough. You know, I thought Davis battled, tried to do a good job there, he battled, but it just didn't do well offensively once we lost CJ.
All right, that was him yesterday, and we'll revisit that point there where he said it happens to our guys and we get the penalty. And the other way around, it doesn't. This was him, and I think after he was able to see it, as he said in that previous clip, he hadn't watched it, he's able to see it. This was his comments today about the hit.
Yeah, it's a tough play, right? The quarterback is sliding. I thought the quarterbacks are protected when they slide, but what I'm learning is if you hit them, don't hit them in the head or neck area, they slide, you hit them in the chest, and that's just fine. So that's what I learned.
All right, that when we listen to those two cuts, Clint, in the first one, I'm not putting words in his mouth. I don't know if he was meaning Azeez Alshire from last year with Trevor Lawrence when he says our player gets flagged, but unfortunately ours didn't today. But I know a lot of people are comping what we saw yesterday with the Broncos and the hit on CJ to the Azeez hit on Trevor Lawrence. And I mean, like I said, man, when it first happened, I said, man, I hope that kid is all right, that he gets up. But I don't know how anybody could look at those situations and say that they're similar. Those were two different. I mean, my man came up with a forearm shiver
parallel to the ground and forearm shiver to guy in the neck and head. I mean, it does not even, you sound silly even bringing up Azeez Alshire's hit in reference to this hit, especially after you've seen it. I mean, the truth be told, this kid is coming. You watch the film. This kid literally is coming from behind CJ. The only reason he hits him in the chest is because CJ actually leans back to start to slide. This kid's coming from the side. CJ never sees him. It's a bang-bang play. If you watch the slow-mo, the kid actually does everything he can to keep his head and his shoulder out of it. It's almost like he hits him with his rib cage, and it's just a matter of CJ already falling back and him compounding the force of CJ's head on the turf.
And he was close to the turf.
Yeah. And it was just a whip of the head. And so it's just, to me, it's not even close to what Azeez Al-Shaair did. You know, again, the guy's coming from the side. At contact, he's actually coming from behind him. It looked like Azeez Al-Shaair was trying to hurt somebody. Like, it looked like he was trying to bring
forearm.
Absolutely. There was violent. It was a violent attempt to hit somebody physically. And this kid was almost just trying to dive and cut him off, and CJ just happened to slide. And when they hit each other, look. I still think there's a question there of like, how are you going to protect quarterbacks and how are you going to hold guys accountable? And
I was surprised
how are you
they picked it up. I was surprised they picked the flag up. But then when you saw it, I rewatched it today and listened to what's his name, Mike Pierre.
I know you're talking.
Yeah, but I can't remember his last name. But the guy who does the rules analyst for Fox over there. I listened to him speak about it, and as he broke it down, you know, had he had made contact with the head or neck area, then, you know, that would have resulted in a foul.
Yep.
The fact that, you know, it was low and hit him lower with the shoulder slash back kind of changes it. But I'm still surprised with how violently he went down and he was into a slide. I'm surprised they picked it up, but once you saw it explained and you saw the replay, I mean, I could see how the officials got to that point.
Yeah, look, I can't see how you got to the point of not calling the, hey, he's in his slide, he's in a protected nature. Now, I'm not mad at the player. Like, I don't think it was an egregious move by the player the way that I thought it was with Azeez Al-Shaair, but when I'm watching it, it's still – the rule is what it is. I mean, he was in a slide when he got hit, and you can't hit a quarterback when he's in a slide. Was my interpretation. I guess I'm with D'Amico on that. I guess you can hit him as long as you hit him with your rib cage or your back, and you don't, you know, you're coming from a side angle or even a back angle and not straight forward. I guess. Like, I was under the impression that once a quarterback starts to slide, you can't hit him. And there's no doubt he got hit when he was sliding. Was it a late slide? I would say yes, but CJ didn't see him, so it wasn't late. It was that he never saw the guy. It was actually an early slide if you look at the defender he was sliding because of. So I don't know. There's a lot that goes into this, and the last thing I do is go to Azeez Al-Shaair's hit on on Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. I mean, like it never even crossed my mind until somebody said, Azeez is on the field consoling the young kid, explaining to him, don't worry about it, everybody's going to come after you. You know, Azeez talked about it in the locker room afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, that's where our head's at. We're in a tight ball game against the Denver Broncos, against a 6-win team, and we're over here telling the kid how to weather the storm of negative publicity when you have a hit on a quarterback that causes a concussion. It's interesting to me.
Yeah. No, it was an unfortunate hit, and a text line coming in, they don't pick that up from Mahomes or Josh Allen if he got hit like that. Yeah, I'm sure that's what they were thinking. I'm sure that's what the Ron Torbert and that officiating crew were thinking. Oh, CJ Stroud, all right, man, pick it up. Damn, they didn't pick it up for Trevor, did they, last year? Kept that one, didn't they? CJ and Trevor, I thought we'd be in the same spot. God, that's so stupid. I mean, I get any other way to say it. It's so stupid. Like, they're sitting there thinking, oh, CJ. Like, I think they got a deal in their pockets, right? All right. Let's see. 13th best quarterback. No, we keep that on. 16th. Oh, that's on the line. 15, 16. We're in, like, where do we drop it? Does Jordan Love get it? Or no? No, we slide into, where's the cutoff? God, it's stupid. Yeah, they just went in there and looked at what they saw, man. Silliness. All right, coming up as we continue, We will open up the phone lines for you. I saw Southside Al say, come on, show, open up them lines. Well, Byron will open up those phone lines for you, 713-572-4610. You can call up in here. Let's hear from you. And this is where I want to hear from you about. This is the conversation starter. Do you give the Texans a pass in this game because they were down C.J. Stroud and Titus Howard? Do you give them a pass in how this game went and them losing this game to the 7-2 Broncos who've won six in a row? Do you give them a pass because C.J. and Titus were out of this game in the second quarter? We'll discuss that and hear from you coming up next.